This is Bob Fitrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
This is The Other Side of the News with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3, 102.1.
Hi, this is Bob Fitrakis with Connie Goodell Newton, who's the lead attorney, and I'm her co-counsel in the Madeline Fitch case.
Thank you, Bob.
And you may have, you are the attorney of record, and that is important since it's a very important case. And maybe you could tell our listeners why you're representing the indicted felon, Madeline Fitch.
Well, the Madeline Fitch case is a very interesting case. It's been in the news a little bit recently. Ms. Fitch is a young lady who lives in Athens County who was criminally charged for protesting fracking. Well, that's not unusual for protesters to get charged with some kind of crime, usually disorderly conduct, sometimes jaywalking or trespassing. But this case is unusual because Ms. Fitch was charged with a felony for what would normally be considered misdemeanor conduct, if anything. It was an act of civil disobedience. And
peaceful civil disobedience,
and totally
as we
peaceful.
Pointed out in our filings.
Yes, she was acting peacefully, nonviolently, and trying to raise awareness about the fracking issue, and specifically the injection wells. One particular injection well, the Hazel Ginsburg well, that has had many violations for a pretty long history. Since 1986, we have documented violations, and those have continued to the present time. And they're made a little bit more dangerous, and it's been brought to the public attention because of the fracking brine that is being trucked in from out of state, from Pennsylvania, and being poured into these injection wells. Many of the injection wells are
faulty.
And
in this case, it's not even designed to be an injection well. It's an old oil and gas well that they're just injecting this so-called brine. But what's in that brine, Connie?
Well, who knows, Bob? You know, people usually refer to salt water as brine.
Right.
Salt is one of the most destructive substances environmentally. The Romans used it to salt the earth and destroy the crops of their enemies for many, many years. You put salt on the crops and it will destroy your ability to grow crops. But besides that, the brine is not just salt water. Fracking liquid consists of a proprietary blend of mystery chemicals that are not disclosed to the public. Some of them may be radioactive substances, poisonous, certainly poisonous substances. And because it's used in industry and it's patented, they don't have to disclose the proprietary chemicals.
Trademarked secrets. And we know the 95% of this so-called brine is coming in from Pennsylvania, where it's illegal to inject it. And we know there's at least 596 chemicals, many of them toxic, including diesel fuel. And the Columbus Dispatch, in a great story on its front page, also pointed out that this so-called brine has radioactive material in it.
Right, Bob. So that's a pretty big problem. There have been many documented problems and issues, violations of regulation for these wells and the specific well in question. If the wells are faulty, if they have leaks, or if they have other problems containing the liquid that they're supposed to contain or that they're being used to contain, those poisonous liquids can leach out into the water supply and pollute our water here in Ohio, our drinking water. So poison going into the water table, it's not segregated, you know, it's not necessarily treatable, and it poses a danger to the health and safety of residents of Athens County, where this particular well was located, but also for the rest of Ohioans. It's a greater issue than just that, just there locally. It is an Ohio issue.
Sure, if you can inject toxic radioactive water from Pennsylvania into Athens County, it sets the precedent to inject it everywhere. And really, the charge, Madeline was charged with inducing panic.
Right.
A fifth-degree felony. What are your thoughts on that, Connie?
Well, Bob, usually the inducing panic statute, it's kind of about, you know, pulling the fire alarm.
Or calling in a bomb threat because they don't want to take a midterm in high school.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, it's something that you could use to charge high school students who call in a bomb threat. You could also use it, you know, if somebody makes kind of a terroristic threat. Or something. So,
like the guy recently on a plane who turned in an old boyfriend and had a plane turned around. That's inducing panic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that would be like calling the fire department when there's no fire, you know, claiming that there's a bomb that's about to go off, or even threatening violence against other people, saying, I'm going to blow this building up. I'll be back to kick your butt.
I'm coming to a mall with a gun.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, threats,
usually almost
really.
Always a violent threat.
It's usually dealing with violent threats. So, you know, in this case, she has been charged under that statute, but she made no threats of violence. She was alerting the public to a real danger, and I think that's kind of where they're... you know, maybe claiming that there's inducing panic, but it really doesn't fit the intent, the legislative intent of what the statute is for. It's not for, you know, it's really not for, like, getting people who alert the public to real dangers, and that's something that she has done. She's alerted the public to a real danger.
And again, she's being charged with a felony. People can, of course, donate to the Madeline Fitch Defense Fund. They can find that online and make a donation. She's facing a very serious a charge here, and one more than anything else. You know, I think she should be given a medal for alerting people in Athens, Ohio,
right,
to the very real threat.
So Madeline Fitch, the Madeline Fitch Legal Defense Fund, you can probably Google it and find it if you would like to donate online. They have a WePay site set up. She is, you know, requesting funds for her legal funds, so that would be the attorneys for any fines or costs that she may have, costs, and also...
And expert witnesses.
Expert witnesses, and... you know, possibly restitution. So, variety of legal needs there. Look for the Madeline Fitch Legal Defense
Fund. And she has a unique spelling of her name, does she not?
Yeah, that's right. It's Fitch, F-F-I-T-C-H. So two Fs, two
small
lowercase.
Fs.
Yes, two lowercase Fs. You should be able to find that by Googling. So, yeah,
and there's been filings in the in this case already, and part of it, I know, you know, we've responded, and you've done a lot of legal research on this, but one of the key issues is whether or not she can even say why she was at that one well,
right,
which should have been shut down, which was a dangerous site. The prosecutor wants to make sure we can't enter that into evidence.
Right. It's interesting, Bob. You know, it seems like maybe she's been charged with this felony because of an effort to silence people like her, people who are speaking out about this issue. And so, you know, one thing that we've seen with the case is it looks like these efforts to silence Ms. Fitch are continuing. They have requested as her as part of her bond conditions that she not protest fracking, and the judge did grant that for Athens County, so that was limited to Athens County. We're still working on that issue, so hopefully she will be allowed to protest fracking in Athens County.
In a peaceful way, we're not talking about any trespassing.
Pretty much just being able to speak publicly about it and hold a sign if she wants to. But the bond conditions so far currently are that she's not allowed to appear in public at a fracking protest and hold a sign. So, you know, we think that that violates her rights to free speech. The other thing is that the prosecution wants to limit the evidence. They want to limit her from talking about the issue of fracking and injection wells. And we think that this information is relevant to why she was there. In the first place, what she was doing, what she was thinking about, whether she has the guilty mind that the prosecution has to prove to get a conviction. You know, so we think that this information is absolutely relevant. It's just an interesting tactic of the prosecution to try to say that they're going to limit what we can talk about and why she was protesting fracking.
And the,
in the first place.
Actually, the element of the crime of inducing panic, not only is there a dollar amount for fifth degree, but there is this element of whether her motive, whether or not the mens rea, whether she has a guilty mind. And part of that standard, right, is that she was acting reckless.
Yes, I think they would be looking for a reckless disregard of whether her actions would seriously inconvenience the public. So,
Who was inconvenienced in this case?
It's hard to tell what they're claiming, Bob. You know,
you've got a well that shouldn't be operating,
right?
In an area where there's, you know, not a whole lot of traffic. I mean, she's not in the middle of downtown Athens, you know, chained to manhole covers.
No, she didn't. I mean, it looks like she didn't really disrupt traffic. I mean, it's hard to tell what they're claiming at this point. But yeah, basically, I think the requirement would be that she acted in reckless disregard that her actions would cause a serious public inconvenience. So, you know, looking at that and looking at the discovery that the prosecution has provided me with, I really don't see that's there, that they have evidence of that so far. So,
well, in many cases, when you look at the situation, some might suggest that really perhaps they're trying to silence on behalf of the oil and gas industry, which has promised jobs, you know, in prosperity, but they don't really want to talk about the poisoning of Appalachia. So in many ways, right, you might be doing a big favor for what used to be called big oil and gas.
Right. You know, it's, I think that I don't want to emphasize their motives too much. They're going to claim, of course, that they're going off of the criminal statute, that this is a criminal case. Their argument was that it wasn't really relevant, that we shouldn't be using the criminal forum or whatever to you know, talk about these issues. But I mean, I think that's incorrect, because the issues themselves are actually relevant to her defense,
particularly
and her criminal case.
That specific well, I mean,
that specific
and
one.
And people,
yeah,
in West Virginia, I mean, well, you know, I know research was done in this area by you and others, is that, I mean, you've got people like chaining themselves, trying to save mountaintops, you know, standing in front of bulldozers, and none of those people were charged with felonies.
Right. The mountaintop removal folks recently, I think there were about 7 of them who chained themselves together. They were not charged with felonies. And, you know, you'd think that would have been a bigger deal. But basically what they've done in this case is, you know, Madeline was doing her demonstration. One police officer came out to deal with it, and then that police officer called a bunch of other emergency services. And so they're basically trying to send her the bill for those emergency services. This is The Other Side of the News with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3, 102.1.
Now, is it important in this case whether or not these other public safety services were actually needed? Because doesn't that really massively inflate the cost, which makes it a felony?
Right. I mean, if they were calling out people unnecessarily to come and then just tacking it on, yeah. I mean, basically, they're arguing it's a felony because so many police forces responded. Now, if they didn't really need to call those people, it certainly does seem like it makes a huge difference in the case.
Okay, she's there. She's at the well. She's chained to barrels. Why couldn't they just have walked up and pepper sprayed her or written her a ticket for trespassing and waited till she left?
I mean, at some point she was going to have to go to the bathroom. She probably would have left on her own accord. They certainly probably could have pepper sprayed her and called it a day, but I guess they chose not to do that.
And one of the theories of the case, I know that you're investigating, is whether or not maybe they wanted to treat this like a training operation in anticipation for what we know will be the inevitable resistance from people in Appalachia once they realize that their water is being poisoned.
Right. So, I mean, I think that theory is that basically the government may be stepping up their efforts to fight the people on this issue on behalf of the gas and oil drilling industry. So, I mean, that's a scary possibility. I would say at the very least, it seems like there's been a police overreaction in this case, sometimes... sometimes police forces want to justify their budget and, use the riot gear that they've been provided with or whatever the case may be. There are different reasons why a police force may overreact to certain cases. I mean, they may have thought that it was really cool and this was going to be a really good day because they got to deal with a situation they hadn't handled before. And, I really don't think that, people were treating it like a dire emergency situation and that there was a lot of panic involved. I don't think that anybody was really in a panic.
And nor do you think she was acting reckless. And in fact, if anything, the point I made is she was inducing sanity. It was part of a public debate. There's a longstanding tradition in the U.S. Mm-hmm. that what you believe are evils or harms to the society, often you do something, a minor trespass at Woolworth's counter in February 1960 in Greensboro, because you think it's wrong that they won't serve a cup of coffee to a black man because they're being objectively racist. So you trespass. Now, what happens when the local government then hits those people with felonies? It really has a chilling effect on public debate.
Right. Bob, you argued that her actions are in the tradition of Gandhi and Martin Luther King. And, looking at the rationality aspect of it, I think that history would say that Gandhi and King were some of the most rational people on this planet. So as far as her reasonableness in being there, I think that she was overwhelmingly reasonable and rational in this act.
So where are we in the case? Where do we go from here?
Well, we have filed a few motions. We're waiting, to hear how the evidence issue is going to come out with the motion in limine. So the prosecutor wants to limit the evidence that can come in about fracking. We have responded with why that evidence should be allowed, that it's crucial to her defense. So that will probably be the next step. We're also in touch with the prosecution about the possibility for a settlement on this issue. So there's the possibility that she could pay some restitution and go into the diversion program. So they have made the diversion program an option for her. So it's really a personal choice what she decides to do. We may try to work out an acceptable plea for her where she could go into the diversion program and hopefully not have any criminal record coming out of this. Or she may decide that she wants to take this case to trial. So it's possible that it could go all the way to trial. We would be hoping to be able to submit evidence into the record about why she was there that day.
And there's a pretrial scheduled. Is it October 5th?
Yes, Friday, October 5th. Yep, we will be meeting and discussing the case and probably also going on the record about the motion in limine and some of the other motions in the case.
And again, because Madeline has to have many options, including a restitution, as this felony hangs over her head, please again go online and search for the Madeline Fitch Defense Fund. Because she's not a wealthy woman.
Right.
She's a young woman who is part of a group that owns property in Athens County. She's not a threat. But again, when you're going up against the oil and gas industry that's busy fracking Ohio, you need resources from expert witnesses to particularly the possibility of restitution. And it's really a tragedy that this young woman, very idealistic, very intelligent, does her research, has a felony charge hanging over her head. As her attorney, does that bother you at all?
I suppose anybody who's charged with a felony for that sort of thing, yes, that certainly, yeah, that definitely seems unjust that she would be charged with a felony for this. Her defense team, her friends who are helping her raise money and with publicity and her group.
Who've been at the courthouse?
We went to her arraignment and there were so many people who came out in support of Madeline. They packed the courthouse. They were outside of the courthouse overflowing. She has a lot of community support. She has people working with her doing fundraising. And I think the fundraising goals are probably to raise, $5,000 to $10,000, at the minimum to cover possible restitution or expert witnesses.
Right. The state
attorney's fees.
State is demanding, for any sort of, if there's a misdemeanor plea deal, that for her to pay up front well over $3,000.
Yeah, at this time, that's what has been discussed. And, of course, who knows how that will come out. But I think having funds available to her will give her more options in her criminal defense case. And we really want to open up those options for her so that we can get the best results in her case.
Now, why do you think a case like this is so important? You take different cases. Why this case? I mean, it's in another county.
Right. Well, we have certain protections under the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable searches and seizures, and the First Amendment right to freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and the right to petition your government for the redress of grievances. So, this is a very important case because Ms. Fitch was acting to inform the public of an emergency when government officials would not do anything about the alleged violations at the Hazel Ginsburg well. And they were not paying attention to the public's right to health and safety and to maintain their property values in Athens County. So when a concerned citizen steps up and says, you know, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, you know, she protested the government inaction and the environmental environmental violations that were occurring, and she's been charged with a felony. So, you know, that could happen to any one of us as citizens. It's really important that we stick together and that we stand up for each other's rights, for our constitutional rights to free speech, and to demand that the government do its duty to protect our health and safety and the public welfare. This is a public interest issue that, you know, will affect all Ohioans. I like clean drinking water. In Ohio, we're blessed to have some of the greatest groundwater, fresh water in the country. We're here by the Great Lakes. We have an amazing amount of fresh water resources, and that's really our greatest wealth in Ohio. It's our ability to live off the land. This is something that Madeline and her friends are doing as they homestead and live off the land. And it's an American tradition. So it's a very important case for us to maintain our freedom as Americans and as Ohioans.
And I know some of the listeners will be curious. We've made filings in this case, and I know you've researched it somewhat in detail. Will you be attempting to use the necessity defense?
Well, Bob, it is all in the public record. I have mentioned that in some of our public filings, that the necessity defense is a possibility in this case, basically stating, you know, that that she acted out of necessity, and that that greater necessity is, in fact, a defense to the criminal charges that she's been, that have been levied against her.
Yeah. So when you invoke the necessity defense, what does that mean legally in court? What can she expect from arguing necessity?
Well, it's an affirmative defense, so the burden is on the defendant to prove that. She has to prove that there was a greater harm, that she did not cause the harm, and a few other elements. So, yeah.
And obviously the harm is coming from the oil and gas industry,
right?
Those that are injecting the toxic radioactive waters into the water tables in Athens County.
Yes, and she had also attempted to find another remedy besides the actions of civil disobedience that she took that day. And that's an important part of the necessity defense as well, is that, you know, she and the other activists working on this issue had exhausted other legal means of addressing the problem. And they have documented many of their efforts to get regulation over this well. So that's very important, you know, yeah.
And what about the argument that she, in the public records that we filed, the argument was also made that she was not Mirandized or given her right, advised of her rights and wasn't allowed to speak with an attorney.
Yeah, that's right. She, you know, she interacted with several police officers during the day. She was being questioned and interrogated for several hours, yet they did not read her Miranda rights during that time.
And this is Bob Fitrakis speaking with Connie Goodell Newton, lead counsel in the Madeline Fitch felony case in Athens County involving fracking, and I am the co-counsel. You might want to consider donating to the Madeline Fitch Defense Fund. Google that, search it on your computer, because we need resources, because our state is being fracked.
This is The Other Side of the News with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
Peace.